news time.
All right, let's talk celebrities. I want to hear in just a moment of a celebrity that you have got up close and personal with. Someone who is in a position of power, someone who is in a position of importance, someone perhaps even who you consider to be glorious. How close have you been to a famous person? I've been close to four famous people. They're going to come up on the screen in just a minute. Not yet. I've been close to four famous people. We're going to hear from four people. Someone who you've been near who's famous. Yes, who is it? Go.
I've been near ScoMo.
You've been near ScoMo. Okay. How do we rate ScoMo as a celebrity?
Woo!
Yeah, I've been pretty high. Former Prime Minister. Yes, Mr. Lucas. Year 7 boys, they're like a mob. All right, over here. Yes, at the back. Who have you been near?
Jason Derulo.
Ooh. Okay, who have you been near? Yeah, that's genuine celeb. All right, here we go. Four celebrities I've been close to. Number one, Colin Buchanan. Now, he and I, contrary to what you might think from the photo, we're not brothers or twins. But I've been very close to Colin Buchanan. I've given him a hug twice. So I think that's pretty awesome. Number two, I've been very close to Josh Hayward and his wife Claire. This is at their wedding. I sort of feel like that was a celebrity wedding, and so that was pretty amazing. Number three, very close to Jonathan Thurston, and that is actually Brody in the other side of the photo there as well. And then, just wait. Now, I'll tell you a story. So my wife convinced me that I should go to a concert with her in Brisbane. And we bought seats at the very last minute. And I had this seat that was literally like, I'm on a corner right up against this like big wall and platform right next to me. And I'm like, I'm in the worst seat in the whole thing, jammed up against this wall and platform right next to me. Well, it just so happened that about 45 minutes into the concert, this happened. And Taylor Swift was literally just standing where I could almost reach out and hold her guitar. And I was at a Taylor Swift concert, and I was right there, able to get photos, until about 40 12-year-old girls all bustled in front of me, and I was like, pushed back on the stage. So they are the celebrities that I have got up close to. Do you know, it's almost a human characteristic that we are fascinated by the famous. We are fascinated by the famous. Important people and glorious people. Those people we hold up in high esteem, those people we hold up in value, those people we honour, we want to get close enough to them to touch them. We want to get close enough to them to get a selfie with them. You want to not only see them on YouTube, you want to not only buy their drink, but you actually want to get up close. Prime, yes, prime. Who doesn't want a bottle of Prime for $19? It's amazing. But you don't just want the bottle of Prime. You actually want to get up close and personal with them. And this is almost characteristic of we are fascinated by the famous. But of course, those people who are famous and important and powerful, well, they like to withdraw from ordinary people like you and me. In actual fact, they don't want to come too close. They don't want to come too close too often. And they like to actually stand back. And if you want to get up close and personal with someone and actually go to a meet and greet, it costs you thousands and thousands of dollars just to be in the presence of someone like Ed Sheeran for just 3 minutes. In England recently, someone paid 2,000 Australian dollars just to be in Ed Sheeran's presence for 3 minutes. And you know what? There are some celebrities like Taylor Swift who see themselves as such great stature, they don't even do meet and greets with fans. It's just sort of like too important, too big to come into your presence. So the important and the glorious often have little time for the ordinary like you and me. for the ordinary person on the street. Almost every single one of them, except one. There is one person who is extraordinary. There is one person who is glorious. There is one person who is incredibly important, who doesn't only sort of try and get up close with us, who doesn't avoid us, who doesn't try and hide away from us. There is one person, unlike celebrities, who, despite all their importance and all their glory, they actually want to draw near to people like you and me. And of course, this one person that I'm talking about is God himself. God's plan for you and me is not to be so important and so glorious that he stands back. No, God's plan for us is actually that he would draw near to us and dwell with us. And while we're often busy chasing celebrities in YouTube or Spotify or somewhere else, even in person, God, by contrast, he's chasing you. God, by contrast, is wanting to be known by you. God, by contrast, is wanting to bring you into his presence. God, by contrast, wants to love you and to be loved by you. Now, you might be wondering, how does this relate to the Bible reading we just had, when the Bible reading we just had sounded like a list of things you might find in your grandma's cupboard, like linen cloths and rocks and all sorts of other bits and pieces like that? Well, we're going to come to that in just a moment. But first, let's remember the book of Exodus. So, quick quiz. Number one, God's people were slaves in where?
Egypt.
Excellent. They were led, God's people were in Egypt under the king, and the king, the technical name for the king in Egypt was?
Pharaoh.
And God raised up someone to help them escape from Egypt, and that man's name was?
Moses.
And Moses said to Pharaoh, "Let my people..." I think he probably had a little bit more enthusiasm than that, to tell you the absolute truth. I don't think he would have rocked up to Pharaoh and go, "Let my people go." So, Moses said to Pharaoh, "Let my people..."
No!
And Pharaoh said...
"No!"
Yeah, that's exactly right. But God, because... We'll see, here we go. Eyes on me. God, because he is super powerful, actually brought down a whole lot of plagues and other things upon the Egyptians and upon Pharaoh, and Pharaoh eventually said to the people, "Go!" And so they followed Moses out of Egypt, and they came to the Red Sea. Where did they come to? The
Red Sea.
But the Red Sea was a
sea.
Correct. Now, you can't cross a sea, but God is amazing, and so God actually gave Moses the chance to put his staff in the water, and what happened? The water
parted.
And so God's people walked through, and then God took them through the Red Sea and then all the way to a mountain. And in this mountain, God said to Moses, "You can come up the mountain and I'll talk to you. You can bring with you a couple of people. Aaron can come. Maybe 72 others can come, including Nadab and Abihu, but no one else can come. Because God, who is at the top of the mountain, is awesome in power." And the people knew, and God knew, that if they came up the mountain to try and find or meet with God, that his awesome power may actually destroy them, that God's glory might overwhelm them, that God's fury at their sin might actually eliminate them. And so they had to stay away from God because of who they were and what they had done. Now, you know, some people actually think about God a bit like this. We go to the next slide. Some people actually think about God in two ways. Some people think that God is sort of off in the distance, so far away that you can't find him. He's like a mystery out there somewhere. That's how some people think about God. And I think some of the Israelites probably thought, God's up the top of that mountain somewhere, off in the distance. Who knows what he's doing up there? And maybe we'll see a story about that in a little while, in a couple of weeks. And other people, when they think about God, they actually think about God as being angry, unapproachable. You wouldn't want to go up the mountain, because if you went up the mountain, God would be so angry with you that you wouldn't want to actually get sort of consumed by his fury. And so people have these different views of God, not only in the days of the Israelites, but actually even today. And I wonder if you might even have some thoughts about God like that. Perhaps you can't necessarily find God, it's a mystery somewhere, or that you wouldn't try and find God, because he might be unapproachable or even angry. Well, can I say to you, nothing is further from the truth. And that's what our passage today points out to us. I just wanted to read two verses again from Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9. So God says to his people who have complained, God says to his people who have ignored him, God says to his people who have wanted to actually turn back from God and go back to Pharaoh, God said to his people who have wanted to reject him time and time and time again, since he rescued them from Pharaoh, he said, then let them make a sanctuary for me and I will, what's the next word?
Dwell.
That means like live. It means come among them. God says, let them make a sanctuary for me, a holy place, a special place. It's actually going to be a tent, which you can see in the next verse, verse 9. Make this tabernacle, that's like a little temporary tent. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I'll show you. And that is what God says to them. I want you to make this special place into which I will come and dwell in your midst. Because God's priority is not to be aloof and away. God's priority is not to be unapproachable and dangerous. God's priority is actually to come right in the midst of his people. God's priority is to be with those he loves and with those who love him. And so this is what the tabernacle looked like right here. A very special place where God would symbolically come and dwell with his people in all its parts. Now, if we read chapter 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, no, 31, stop, 31, you'd read all the details about all this whole tent structure and how it was all made and every piece of gold and every bit of rope and all of everything that's going on inside here. It's all very high technical detail and it's all really super important. But I just want to tell you about one super important part of this tonight. And it's this little spot right here. It's like a fireplace. It's called the fire of the burnt offerings. And you know how only Moses and a few people could go up the mountain, because it was actually right. If they got too close to God, that they may be consumed because of their sin. And God knew that people couldn't just sort of come and approach him and come and hang out with him. Because if you got too close to God, like we saw in Moses in chapter 2, he even had to take his shoes off when God called him to come close. Got too close to God that you might get consumed because of your sin, God knew. But what God did here in this little fire, he took animals and people could go into the tabernacle and take an animal. And that animal would actually be killed and burned as a sacrifice. And that sacrifice would symbolically take away their sin. It would actually make them clean and bring them forgiveness. So they could then get one of the people who worked in the tabernacle to then take their prayers and take their lives before the Lord. So God made a way for them to actually come into his presence safely through sacrifice. God made a way for them to come safely into his presence by forgiving their sin through sacrifice. Now, I wonder if that sounds familiar to you. That God would make a way for people to come into his presence, forgiven for their sin through sacrifice. You see, this tabernacle here, this little tent that God told them to build, is actually a little symbol, a little picture of a bigger event, of another sacrifice, of another moment when God decided that he would come near. Because God's priority is actually to be with his people. You know, if you go all the way to the very start of the Bible, what do you find? The start of the Bible is the Garden of Eden. And who's in the Garden of Eden? Adam, Eve, and who else? God. And they're walking around together. And then you go to the very end of the Bible, all the way out the other end. And when you get to the very end of the Bible, what do you find? You find people. And what are the people doing? They're hanging out with God. That's his promise. That we started dwelling with him, that we're going to end up actually living with him. And in the days of Exodus, well, because of this little tent here, God was dwelling right in the midst of them. It's God's priority to bring people back into relationship with him and to dwell and to live right among them. So, here's our problem. There's no tent. Anyone seen this tent around anywhere? No. So how do we actually get to dwell with God even now? And is there a sacrifice that's been made for us so that we might actually be clean enough, have our sin forgiven, that we might be able to be with God and safe with God? Well, indeed there is. And that sacrifice is, of course, Jesus. So in John chapter 1, we read, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." And here's a fun little thing from the Bible. See these words here, it says, "made his dwelling." Well, the word actually there is tabernacled. God tented among us in Jesus. He actually came and dwelt with us in the same way as he dwelt with the Egyptians. And he did that so that he could actually be the sacrifice for us, for our sin, to draw us into relationship with God. He came and walked among human people and showed us what it was to be in relationship with God. But, we've got another problem. Jesus is now in heaven. And so can we be close to God? Well, we actually can, because Jesus left his spirit with us. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God?" So you no longer need to look for a tent. You need not even go looking for Jesus. Because as you trust in him, the Spirit of God is in you. God is with you always and forevermore. So let's wrap this up. I know that being a teenager can sometimes be hard. I know that it can feel like you're alone. I know that it can feel like you're worried whether you're doing the right thing. I know friendships can be hard and no one's allowed to look around. But even sometimes your relationship with mum and dad can be hard sometimes. They're pretty good people, but I know it can be hard. Just ask Brady, it happened once. Only once. But you know, when things are hard, there is someone who is always with you. When things are hard, there is someone who is always there to love you. When things are hard, there is always someone there to help you in your time of need. And you don't need to chase him, because he's chased you. And that's God. And he's done that through Jesus' death at the cross and through giving you his Spirit, who is in you right now as you trust in him. For indeed, God chased you down and actually invited you to the ultimate meet and greet with him in eternal life, in heaven forever. And he even paid the price of admission. You might pay $2,000 to see Ed Sheeran for 3 minutes, but God paid the price of his son, Jesus, so that you might actually be able to be with him face to face forever and ever. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he wants you to be with him. And you are of such great value to him that he has arranged for you to have eternal life with him forever and ever. And the Spirit that is in you now is actually the deposit, the down payment, guaranteeing God's love for you. You are of such great value to God, and he wants to dwell with you forever. And he's made a plan that that might happen. And I want to say to you tonight, give thanks for that. Whatever happens in life, hard times, good times, joyful times, sad times, God is always with you. How about we pray? Our great God and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you, you are always with us. Thank you that we don't need tents and sacrifices and animals and other things, because you have sent Jesus to die for us. Thank you that you are joined with us even now by your Spirit. And we pray that you would help us to know and understand the way you value us, love us, and want to be with us forever. And we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.